St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I do desire your prayers for a few moments of time. I don't have nothing new, by no means. But I realize the main key to the service and everything that's been testified and everything that's been talked about, it all hinges on one thing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's not in me. I mean, there ain't nothing about me, but it's all about him. It's not in a man, a preacher, or a priest, or a pope, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need him. I don't care who you are. I don't care how little you are or how big you are. We all need him.
Amen.
You can say, I've got this on my own. I've accomplished this and I've accomplished that. But I tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you be at tonight? I realize there's a lot of places that folks should be. But I'd rather be at the house of God. I'd rather be able to feel the power of God than anything I know. And I thought, we need that. I said, we need the power and the presence of God. It's not at a ball game. It's not on the job. It's not down at the honky-tonk or anything like that that the world's got to offer. And it says that these pleasures and sin for a season. But I tell you, there's nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ showing up and meeting with us. I tell you, we got something special. But I tell you, we take a lot of things for granted, but we ought not to take that for granted. We need that. It's not everywhere that you go that you can feel the power of God. But God's good to us. I'm thankful for that. I realize if I'd have got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. And I deserve to be there. But I'm thankful that he had mercy and grace upon my soul. As sorry as I am, as long as I run from it, all them years, I waited till I was 18 years old and I finally surrendered. I couldn't take it no more. But I tell you, the Lord got on my trail for years. And boy, every time I got by myself, I tell you, it just got a little worse and a little worse. And that conviction just got a little worse and a little harder. But I'm thankful. One night, I couldn't get away from it no more. I ain't done everything right. But I'm sure glad that I got it fixed up.
Yeah.
If I leave tonight, I know where I'll be.
Amen.
Not that I deserve to go to heaven, but I know where I'll be.
Yeah.
St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would faint, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Yeah. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, saying to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Yeah. And I was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thus thy brother was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found. Amen. Brother Dustin, would you lead us in prayer? I began to think about that scriptures, and thought maybe if I had a little thought, I thought about looking in the wrong places for help.
Yeah.
And I thought about how that he began to, he wanted what came to him, and what he thought was owed to him, and what basically what the Lord had provided, he went and wasted it.
Yeah.
And that's the way we do a lot of times. Get to looking around, and we'll what the Lord has given us, and we'll waste it. We think that, that it's owed to us, or whatever the circumstance may be. But I thought, boy, that I began to think, boy, looking in the wrong places for help. And but I thought, boy, I mean, that's easy to do in the time that we got in. I tell you, there's the lust and the pride and everything that you can see and the things that goes on, but and it's easy to get your eyes off the Lord. But I thought about how that he was the prodigal son, no doubt. The Bible says it teaches us, but I thought about how that he wasted what he had, and I thought about how that he went into a far country and he had everything that he needed, but he was looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. The Lord had already provided everything that he needed. All that he had a family, had everything that the Lord had already provided, but yet went and wasted what he had. That's the way we are a lot of times if we ain't real careful. The Lord's got everything prepared, got everything ready, and it'll be wasted if it ain't handled real carefully. The Bible teaches in different places. I thought you can look, and I thought about how that Jonah, I thought about had everything that he needed, had everything provided for him, and the Lord was trying to use him, and the Lord wanted to use him, but yet he turned away from God and decided, I'm going to go my way and do my own thing, and I'm not going down there to preach to those folks, and he knew they needed help, but he refused to do what God told him to do, so he went down, paid the fire, got the ship, and the storm arose, and caused some problems to those folks on the boat. That's what it is a lot of times. If we ain't real careful, we'll cause problems for somebody else. The Lord told us to do something, whether it be testify or say it, whatever, I don't know, maybe tell somebody to go witness to somebody, and we'll say, Lord, we'll do that later, or Lord, we'll testify next week or next service or whatever the case may be. But that ain't what the Lord wanted Jonah to do. But Jonah had to suffer some things for being disobedient. God had already set everything in order, but he was not willing to do what God had told him to do. Go down there to preach to those folks. I believe the Bible said there's like more than 120,000 didn't know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. But God wanted to use Jonah for a special purpose. He wasn't trying to use Matthew or Mark, Luke, or John, but he had Jonah, and he wanted to use Jonah, but Jonah didn't want to listen to him. So he had to suffer some things. But I'd say when he got in the belly of the whale, or the great fish, whatever you want to call it, I believe he probably changed his mind. When he realized that he was in the belly of hell, he realized where he was, and he realized how bad it was, that he was willing to make things right. That's where a lot of folks are. They want to wait till the circumstances are real bad and realize we messed up real bad, then we want some help. Just like when those planes hit the tires, and things began to happen, and folks got concerned about some things. Because I remember when folks got serious with God, and folks was willing to come to the house of God, and they was looking for something. To get some help, you see. They maybe got scared, got worried, got bothered, got troubled, whatever it may be. But I tell you, and then it wasn't but a few months, days, weeks for some. They began to, you couldn't find them with a search warrant or a magnifying glass now. But I thought, but God, he's trying to get some folks' attention. And yet they come for a little while, and then they didn't want nothing else to do with it. But it took God getting folks' attention from a catastrophe, something like that, to get folks' attention. Why does it have to be some kind of disaster before the Lord gets our attention? Everything's going real good. The bank account's going real big. Every car's running real good. The house is just the way you want it to be. And you hadn't remodeled it in 2 or 3 days. But I thought about how it's got plenty of food in the cupboard. I got plenty of clothes in the closet. His bed sleeps real good. Work's going real good. But when one thing goes wrong, when the boat breaks, four-wheeler breaks, I tell you, a disaster happens, run out of money, run out of friends. God's still right there where you left him. In the midst of everything was going real good, but when something goes real bad, then we begin to seek God. We begin to find where we left our Bible when we're supposed to be reading it every day. And when we dust the dust off of it or whatever, or we've left it in the vehicle for 6 months and maybe not even turned the pages. Amen. You say, surely folks wouldn't do that. Well, look around and we come to the house of God and we wonder why we wait on somebody else to do something. When God told us to pray, one of the greatest sources that we ever have, one of the greatest things that God ever gave us was prayer. And we use it so lightly. And we take it for granted. Until there's a death in the family. Or sickness comes. If somebody gets a sickness that the doctor said you're only going to live this long. And then folks begin to get serious with God. We're all like that. It's human nature. But why it don't have to be that way. But it is. Because the Lord already told us that we're to pray. Over in the Old Testament, in Chronicles 7:14, tells us different things. One of them was prayer. Seek God's face. And we can hear from heaven. Then you flip over to Malachi, and he gets to talking about tithes. But you say, oh no, he's going to preach about money. But I tell you, God provides all things. I don't care if it's money, food, possessions, anything that there is on this earth that we have. We didn't get it on our own. I promise you that. Folks want to take credit for this and for that. And I was listening to the radio one day, this past week, I guess it was, or a few days ago. And I was listening to, I don't know if it was a preacher or what, but they was bragging about themselves and what they'd accumulated, that they'd done this on their own and they had this and they had that. And I was like, Lord help us. It didn't work that way, friend. The Bible tells us everything, gives us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. If it was not for the Lord, we wouldn't even be here tonight. We're all but dust. We're all made out of the same thing. But God's been good to us. I appreciate his power and his presence. And I thought about Jonah. I thought about all those four chapters. You can read all about Jonah. You can read about the gourd, the worm eating, the gourd. I mean, you can read all through what Jonah went through. But when God got done with him, he was ready to work for God. He is ready then. That's the way we are a lot of times. We get to looking at folks in the Bible and we think, well, we wouldn't ever do nothing like that. Folks do folks wrong in business deals. Kings will do this and that. And you know, well, we wouldn't ever do nothing like that. The Bible says to be faithful. That ain't just doing, there's different ways of being faithful. You can be faithful to the house of God. You can be faithful to the Lord. There's different things. I can be faithful to my wife. She can be faithful to me. There's different circumstances. I don't love everybody like I love my wife, my own family, and neither do you. But the Bible says that God is love. We're to love one another and bear one another's burdens. But only when circumstances happen. Well, I'll bear his burdens when this happens, or I'll bear my brother's burdens when this happens. But when the Lord, I don't feel like doing that today. I'll just do it next time, Lord. We always have to wait for the Lord to get our attention. Look at Lot. It took a lot of things to get Lot's attention. He lost his wife. He went through, and the Bible said it didn't say that he was in Sodom. It said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's the way we are today if we ain't real careful. We pitch our things toward things we ought not to. Our eyes and the devil. And the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And we'll look down on folks doing those things, but we ain't real careful. We'll be right there too. I mean, it's easy to look down on somebody else, but I tell you, when disaster happens to us, then it's different. Why is that? It's always somebody else's fault or somebody else's problem or whatever you want to call it. But we can look in the mirror and we'll find the problem. We don't like it too well. That fella we look at in the mirror every morning or every night before you go to bed. It's always somebody else's fault. It ain't mine. It must be my co-workers. It must be my brother or my sister standing in the need of prayer, Lord. I thought about Lot, though. I thought about what he went through and all those things for God to get his attention. The Lord sent them two angels down there. And I thought how that did. And those folks on the outside wanted to find out where them two men went that was on the inside, because he wanted to come out so they could have relations with them. What the Bible teaches us. They shouldn't have never went that far. Because he pitched his tent toward Sodom, because of what he'd seen. He went that way when him and Abraham had to split ways, and Abraham took the one way, Lot got to choose first, if I understand right. But everything looked good. The prosperity, the well-watered land looked real good for them animals. But it got him in big trouble. If we ain't real careful, we'll pitch our tent in the wrong direction and we'll be in trouble. It ain't just affect you, friend. It affects a whole lot of people. It affects your whole family. I mean, it affects your friends. It affects a whole lot of things. You may never know it, but it will affect a whole lot of people when it comes down to it. When all things were said and done, and you read through the scriptures, and you'll see that he had relations with his two daughters, and he had kids by his two daughters. And I mean, it sounds bad, but it's in the Bible. But that's what sin does. The Lord's give us everything that we need, but he looked the wrong way. If we ain't careful, we need to look to Lord Jesus Christ and stay close to him. This world, there's only sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Lost and saved alike, friend, I'm telling you. This is real serious, I promise you. I believe this is a lot more serious than what we take it a lot of times. But God knows everything that we need. He knows who would be here and he knows who wouldn't. But what Lot did not only affected him, but it affected a whole lot of folks. And there's two groups of people. When those two kids was born, then there's two different tribes, as far as paraphrase, but there's two different kinds of folks. And it affects them all the way down over one mistake, friend. We make one mistake, and it affects a lot of people. I thought about King David. I thought, boy, how that probably tired in the evening, coming from a hard day's work, I guess, whatever a king done back then. But he went out on the top of the roof, and he was looking in the wrong direction. And it said, that it came to pass at evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And that's when David's trouble began. He had problems. And it said the sword would never depart from his house. He was in a place he should not have been, for one thing. Instead of turning and going back to where he come from, it ruined his life. But I believe he was willing after he had messed up. Not only did he get a woman that was not even his, and then he had her husband killed. I tell you, he caused all kinds of problems and tried to cover it up. That's why we are. If we ain't real careful, we'll create some problems and we'll try to cover them up. We can hide a lot of things from a lot of different people, but God knows all things. It don't matter if it's me or my family or whoever it may be. God has not changed. We will stand in judgment. The Bible says we'll give account of every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And I'd rather be right with God here before I pass away, or if he comes in the rapture. I begin to think about that rich young ruler. He must have been a wealthy man. The Bible teaches us that the Lord told him what to do. He'd kept them commandments and he'd done different things from his youth, and everything was going real good till the Lord told him to sell all that you have. He wanted eternal life, but he was not willing to give up those possessions. That's what a lot of folks today will not give up. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, it's not worth dying and going to hell. Because as far as I know, the Bible never records anywhere else that he made it right with God. Because he had such a hold, them possessions had such a hold on him, money, whatever it was that he had, that he could not give it up. That's why a lot of folks are today. Look around. Folks get more and more and more, and they're not willing to let it go. God's been good to us. God's been good to him. He was a pretty smart feller. He kept these things from his youth. But the Lord said, go and sell what thou hast if you want eternal life. And he was not willing to give it up. But the Lord was good. He never did make things right with God, as far as we know. But I thought, boy, looking in the wrong places, I thought, boy, we got a Bible. I don't know who's saved and who's lost. But the Bible gives us everything. He tells us that God is love. It tells us how to love one another. It gives us guidance for what we ought to be. It's guidance for the man, for the home, for the wife and the children. It's got everything that we need that tells us what to do. It even gives us a diet to go by. It gives us a dress code to go by. A lot of folks don't like it, but it's in there.
Amen.
A lot of folks need to understand what modesty is. And if you don't know, I tell you, we got an altar. We can figure it out. But I tell you, it's not in man's opinion or anything like that. We got a Bible.
Amen.
Folks can give their opinions all day long. That's not going to amount to a hell of beans, but we got the Bible. We got 66 books of the Bible he's given us. And it's been God-breathed. It's been ordained of God. And we're going to give account. We have characteristics of what a Christian ought to be. Qualifications for a pastor. Tells everything through. The husband of one wife. Not being a novice. All down to 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. And I tell you, you read on down when she gets past that, and it tells you what a deacon ought to be. And it's real close to being a preacher or pastor. There's all kinds of qualifications if we're willing to accept it. If we're to be a child of God, why would we look anywhere else? The world's not our measuring stick. The world's not going to help us. It's not going to give us no spiritual guidance. It might help us want for more things and lust after more things, but it will not help us what we need in this journey to be the good soldier. The Lord's called us over in the Bible. It tells us that we're to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches us everything that we need to be a good soldier. It tells you what kind of armor that we need. It tells you over there in Ephesians, it tells us the armor that we need to put on. It gives us everything that we need. Amen. If we're willing to accept it. We've got to accept it. I thought he's given us a diet plan. He's given us, if you're looking for a spouse, the Bible tells us how to look for a spouse. Tells us everything. It tells us how we can have good discernment about things. You can have good spiritual discernment, and you can have good discernment of other things. That's why we got a Bible. That's why we need everything. That's why one of these days the Bible teaches that everybody that's saved is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give account. Like I've done said, but I thought, well, then there's going to be another one for lost folks. The great white throne judgment. And both of them is going to be pretty serious. And I believe, if I understand it right, more than likely, folks will probably be ashamed. We'll not be telling God how good we've been. We've done this and we've done that. We'll probably be ashamed. Because he's given us so much stuff that we're accountable for. That we just let it go. Just put it on somebody else, Lord. But I thought, maybe how the Lord, I thought, maybe how lost folks, I thought about who you're going to blame if you die and go to hell. I thought you can't blame your pastor because he preached you the truth. I mean, however, 18 years, however long he's been here. I thought he's taught the Bible right and he's preached it right. You can't blame it on the pastor. You can't blame it on your Sunday school teacher because he does a good job and he knows the scriptures and he uses the right Bible, but you can't tell the Lord. You can't blame it on him. I'll tell you, I'll thank God for good teachers. I'll tell you, we got good teachers. I'll tell you, we got a good Holy Ghost. You can't blame the Holy Ghost. I thought, well, who are you going to blame? You can't blame the piano player, the song leader. I tell you, they're plugged up with God. And I tell you, we got a bunch of good members that's plugged up with God. And you begin to look at their lives. Folks got good patterns to pattern your life after if you want somebody to just look around. But I thought, well, who are you going to blame? You can't blame God for not showing up and doing what he said he would do. He sent the Holy Ghost to draw us, to love on folks, to woo us. I've cleared my heart, brother. Hey.